That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
Oh my god, you guys forgot how it works.
Pete, you trying to jump on me?
I jumped the gun.
You jumped the gun. We've forgotten it's been so long since we've all been together. But we are here now.
We
are streaming. Two. That's forever, man.
I want my $2. Spanish Justin, welcome back, buddy.
Hold on. I got to do my little intro a bit. We are live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, X/Twitter, Instagram.
Do you have to
Maybe
do
you're
this?
Listening later wherever you get podcasts. It's all good. We are back together, reunited, and it feels so good after
reunited.
Two of the longest, most painful weeks of my life.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, right. But do you know what actually makes them better, you guys? The thing that makes them better is that we have people supporting this show through patreon.com/comicbookclub.
Yeah.
We love that. We wouldn't be able to do the show without them. There are all sorts of levels that people could pledge. Yes, Justin?
No, good.
Oh, okay. Stuff. I thought you were giving a pause here for a second thing.
I am, but keep on. You're good. You're this.
Okay, great. Well, but I will say that at $5 and up, we say a little bit of a thank you once a month to everybody. It's coming very late in this month because we happen away, but we wait to do it until we're all together. So why don't we jump into it and kick it off with Otis Larson.
Aaron C. Hollis.
Oh, you don't have it. Adam Bass.
It just closed on
Adam DeRose.
Adam Marks.
Adriel Moreland.
Elena Fontenot.
Amanda Harris.
Andrew Primo.
Andrew Tillman.
Beercat, PhD.
Carrie Matthews.
Christina Jaramillo.
Christina Runsfield.
Chris Terlizzi.
Clemens Luer.
Dan Snow.
Daniel Fuentes.
Daniel Pete the Poodle Cabral. Yes.
Danny Heck.
David Donaldson.
Debbie Gloom.
Dennis Scott.
Derek Mainhart.
Doug Sonaway.
Dylan L.J.
Eduardo Martinez.
Emmett Quish.
Enrique Chooms.
Gerard de Villiers.
Ian Rainey.
Ian Thomas.
Isaac Carter.
Jake Fry.
James Connolly.
Jaron Townsend.
Jason Donahue.
Jeffrey Whaley.
John Henderson.
Jonathan Jong.
Jonathan McCool.
Joshua W. Broxson.
Joshua Wright.
Julian Lobato.
Kelby.
Kevin Kleinrock.
Kieran Broderick.
Cody Thomas.
Lance Kaminsky.
Liwana Thomas.
Lucas Sink.
Maddie.
Matt Tice.
Matthew C. Hernandez.
Matthew DePalma.
Matthew Schofield.
Michael McKellif.
Michael Tillman.
Nelson Kelso Martinez.
Nick G.
Nick Grayson.
Official CBC Chef Brett Macris, a.k.a. Stray Bullies.
Shouts Omniasoul Art.
Oren Dix.
Pedro A. Rangel.
Provocative Ambulance.
Rev Mikey.
Robert Pettenope.
Ron Hood.
Roxanne Tyler.
Shouts to my mom listening even when I'm not here.
Wow.
Sarah Schottenmuller.
Sarah Schaefer.
Scott Carpenter.
Scott England.
Stanley.
Taylor Bryan.
The Big Flood.
The 12 Bench.
The Victor Perez.
Will Buchanan.
William Leach.
Zachary Bachman.
Zika's Viral Comics.
And thank you so much for supporting us. We really do appreciate it. I know I say this once a month. We're going to say this in like a week at this point. But I will mention you can pledge at $2 and up. And that not only gives you access to our very active Patreon Slack, which is a lot of fun chatting with everybody all day long, but yes, also our back catalog of podcasts going all the way back to 2011, which includes hundreds of podcasts that are just no longer online otherwise. So lots of stuff there. Thank you, everybody. Again, this is 100% the truth. We really would not be able to financially support the show without the amazing Patreon supporters of any level. So we really, 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 really do appreciate it. So there you go. We are going to jump into it now officially with our guest this evening.
He officially start the show.
Let's the first 20 minutes, I want to say. That was at least 20 to 30 minutes. I think. Anyway, we are going to jump into it and talk to the EIC of Massive and also the creator of Quested and a couple of other things. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Calero. Michael, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello.
I said EIC. I meant CEO and co-publisher.
I was like, I don't know if that's a demotion. I think it's like no.
It's a side promotion. I don't know what that word is. Michael, welcome to the show. I want to talk about all the titles that you work on for Massive in a second, but first, talk about the publisher. So you're CEO, you're co-publisher. This is relatively new publisher, but you're making a bunch of big waves with a bunch of very intriguing titles that are coming out that I'm sure you'll name drop in certain ways. But talk to me, what's the idea behind Massive? What makes Massive different as a publisher?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. Relatively new. We're a pretty young publisher. A big part of why we decided to become publishers, because we, all of the original founders, we were creators or working in the comic business in some way, and decided to do this venture. And a big part of that was there's two aspects of it. The core aspect of it was, you know, we wanted to see what it was like to do the ideas that we wanted other publishers to be doing and we weren't seeing. And we were like, okay, if we run this, there's no one who's going to, you know, say you can't do this. So let's just try it. The other part was seeing a lot of really great books that weren't necessarily being given the spotlight that we thought they should. There was a lot of stuff that was, you know, some of the books that we've done have been like Kickstarter books that we thought deserved to be on shelves. And, you know, that was a big part of when we started, we didn't want to kind of gatekeep folks who had done Kickstarter books. We wanted to be able to give them that, you know, bigger audience. And, you know, of course there's obviously like the really established pros and you know, really like top list talent that we love to be able to work with that, you know, for me being a creator, I had some really great relationships with people in the industry and we wanted to be able to work with them in some way.
Well, awesome. Talk about some of the titles a little bit. So we've got your comics. You've got some very fun here. I'm going to bring it up here in a second, but you have a couple of very fun. I mean, I wouldn't strictly call them like video game parody comics, but you've got Quested, which loosely riffs off of Legend of Zelda and other things like that, particularly in the covers. And then you've got Alpha Beta with Kyle Starks as well, which, again, like riffs off of video games, but different sort of video games. But that's far from all that Massive is doing. So what are some of the titles other than your own, which we'll talk about more in a second, that people should be checking out?
Yeah, I mean, we, like we said earlier, it's relatively new, but one of our biggest things was we wanted to really focus on like 1 to 2 new titles a month or launches per month. You know, we started off with Alpha Betas, like you mentioned, but then we did Ninja Funk, which was a collaboration with Whatnot. That was one of our first titles.
That sounds awesome.
That was one that the writer was a retailer whose dream was to always become a comic book, you know, creator. And, you know, through Massive, we were able to do that. And that's kind of a great example of one where, you know, I don't know if every publisher would have given him a shot right out the gate and put so much like energy and marketing effort into that book. And that ended up being a book that was like one of the top selling titles of that year. I mean, it sold over 150,000.
If I can jump in, that's great. That's an amazing hit out of for someone who hadn't really done it before. Yeah. So then what goes into like that person? What does that person say to you? How do they pitch you that you take a chance on their book?
Because the title alone makes me want to buy it.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the, you know, kind of more prevalent retailers on Whatnot. Through that, he had, you know, really kind of become, I think, part of that family. And so when we started working with Whatnot, they were like, hey, we have this book, and the creators, you know, really passionate about it, had a great artist, Alex Riegel. And I was a fan of Alex's work already. And it really just became like, okay, well, if this was any other top name creator, what would you do? What kind of effort would you put into promoting that book? And that's what we did. We, you know, we promoted it at Comic Cons, gave it really great ad pages in the previews catalog. You know, it's a lot of it goes into just making retailers aware. And on his side, he had done a really great job retailer to retailer, finding people that wanted to do exclusives. And that was a big part of the success of that book.
Helps if you're a retailer, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. Retailers want to support one of their own, right?
Let's break down the Ninja Funk here, because sometimes funk can sneak up on you. On, you know, is that the idea, or what is it? A ninja who also is in a funk band? Like, you know, this is too good of a title to just let you know go by here.
Yeah, it was a big part of it was like kind of a like electronic dance music kind of subculture influence. A lot of like it was like that meets sci-fi. So it was like Star Wars, if Star Wars was made by people that were into like dance music culture and, you know, street culture and things like that. So it was, you know, really kind of a weird mishmash to begin with. And the art was great. You know, it was a really fun story. So we did that. We did a book with Wesley Snipes called The Exiled. Being a long time, you know, action movie fan and comic fan, like that's kind of the goat.
So you were betting on black, basically.
Yeah, we're always bet on black.
Wow.
Yeah,
always. Wow, okay, wow, so wow. I have a question about this, and I mean this totally complimentarily. He seems like a crazy man. What was it like working with him?
No, he's super
how
nice.
How dare you?
He's
super passionate, which is why it works, right? Like you need someone who's really like not just doing it as like a vanity project, but actually cares about comic books, or else it just comes off as disingenuous. And like, I don't think fans will connect with it. And that was for me, I'm that like a critical fan where I see like, if I see a celebrity book, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a garbage title. Mm-hmm. That's just like that person's like trying to tick off a box, you know? But no, he partnered with a really great writer in Adam Lawson and Keith Arum. And they made a like a legitimately, you know, good sci-fi book.
Yeah. I think this is like kind of part of the thing anyway. Other than the Wesley Snipes thing, everything that you've mentioned, or at least everything we've talked so far, feels like it dives into a specific sort of subculture. Is that something that you're looking for with these books, or did that sort of just happen?
I think if you can't, like when I get submissions, if I can't picture who it's for, that's when I know it's probably not going to do well, you know?
Interesting.
And so for me, it's like these books, when I saw them, or Kevin and I, cause we both, you know, go through that process of picking titles, and, you know, a big part of it's like, even if it seems like a niche, you know, group that it's for, we could say, okay, that's not being served. Like when we did Astrobots, which was around, you know, a few months after Exiled, we did Astrobots. There was no Transformers comics being made at that time. And we were like, there's no robot comics on the market right now. That was like underserved. Transformers had went away for a while. There wasn't really anything that ticked off that box. And, you know, we had Simon Furman, who is one of the original Transformers comic book writers. And so we were like, this all makes sense. Like this, there's an audience for this. We know that if we just get this in front of the right people, that it'll have fans. So like one of the first things we did, and this is where kind of what I was talking about earlier about doing things that we wished other publishers would do. Like we went out to a Transformers convention and just handed out free advanced copies of issue one to all the BotCon fans. And that alone was like a huge boost to the book, because within weeks we were getting retailers in LA that were saying like, hey, like I had like five or six people come in asking for this book. I'm upping my order, you know? So, so stuff like that.
So are you trying to say that smart, thoughtful choices lead to success?
No, I mean, thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much for coming on. We need to rethink this podcast. Yeah.
I got no shot then.
I think you could do all the same things and fail though. It's like there's so many factors that
is true.
Go into it.
That is true.
You know, like
but being thoughtful about it and understanding sort of the world around you certainly helps. Like seeing that hole in the market on Transformers and then being like, let's go to where people want this. Like it truly is in a world, like not just the comic book industry, but anyone trying to do anything creative that's oversaturated and It's like, you have to be ahead of it in that way, I feel like.
Which is hard because like the timing of comics is so different than most industries. Cause you both have, it's the one of the fastest industries where you can have an idea and get it into people's hands. You know, like film and TV, you have to project years out. Comic books, you can literally project like 5 months out and put something out. But at the same time, that 5 months can be really like instrumental in like success or not. Like you could put, if we had timed it wrong, like we could have been competing against Skybound relaunching Transformers. Mm-hmm. That was only about, I think about a 6 months. I think it was within like 6 months to a year that that book came out. And if that had hit at the same time, I don't think we would have had the same success with it.
Well, let's talk about your books a little bit. Let's start with Quested, which is very fun. Like you said, a little bit of a Legend of Zelda riff, very much like playing with Dungeons and Dragons and the whole fantasy genre. Where did the idea for this start? And what's the pitch for it, I guess?
The pitch and where it started are very, very different. the pitch of it is, you know, and We've probably written this in a dozen different places. So it's a little, for me, it feels a little bit old now, but you know, it's like the kind of the spirit of Legend of Zelda, that adventure story, you know, like JRPG adventure story, but with like the like character sensibilities of Hellboy. Right. Cause I'm a big Mignola fan. Yeah. I love characters that, you know, don't do the thing you're expecting or, you know, the reluctant hero. So Jinx is very much like that character. Where it originated from was so different, though. I mean, that it basically was kind of like with McFarlane and Spawn. It was a character that I created in like elementary school, and it started from, you know, like when you play a JRPG game, they always ask you what's your character's name, you know, and that's what pops up. It was always Jinx. That was the character I would come up with.
Let me pull the room. What was your character in any video game? You had to enter your character name, especially a JRPG. You guys have one?
Not a good one.
You don't have a
random. I don't want to share mine.
What? Why?
What was yours?
Argon. The noble gas.
What?
The noble gas. Chemistry.
Nice.
Every single time I would play that, I was Argon.
Zalbanax.
Yes, I know you just made that up, right. Alex, that's fine.
Please, no, please, I didn't, I really didn't.
Please send me these in an email. I want to find a way to put these characters in Quest.
100%.
Three adventurers that don't fare well.
that's, again, not smart, not thoughtful. You're nailing us.
So it started out there, and it, you know, I would just create stories for the character. And you know, it started off as just like a complete Zelda one-for-one ripoff, and just over time, you know, became something very different. And when we were starting, this is actually predates Massive, me working with Kit. I was a publisher over at Starburns Industries Press for a while. Kit was doing a book there called Delicious. Mm-hmm. And I knew I wanted to do a book with Kit. The time, we sent him like three or four different pitches, and we're like, hey, here are the the books that we have that we think your art would fit. And he picked Quested, and I kept it. I tried being like as unbiased as possible, and I didn't say who the pitches were from.
Yeah, it's smart.
So the fact that he picked Quested was like, I already wanted him to do it. So it was really kind of felt like the right connection there.
It's perfect, especially with the Hellboy tinge you mentioned, because there is that tinge in Kit's art. Like,
yeah,
you got it. You know, it's perfect.
Well, and the other thing, I mean, you mentioned Starbirds Industries. There's definitely a bit of the Rick and Morty type thing going on in terms of the look as well. Is that something you've tried to push away from at all, or do you lean into it? Part of your DNA?
Well, the weird one was Alpha Betas was kind of one where that's about as Starburns as it gets, because that was the original pilot for that cartoon was made by Starburns. That's how I got linked into the project. And so we were trying to make that book look like Starburns. With Quested, it was never like, that was never a conversation that Kit and I had of like, oh, let's try to make this feel like an adult animation or anything. It really was like, let's make this world as weird as possible, as colorful as possible. And you know, so that book, you know, those two books side by side, like this, like you're showing the Alpha Beta stuff, that's like, ooh, real Contra Starburns. Nice. That's about as Starburns as it gets. And that one also had a lot of video game influence because of the TV show, obviously.
It's visible.
So yes.
Palpable.
Well, let's talk about some other stuff. This is something that I don't think is massive, unless I'm wrong, but you also wrote the American Psycho comics. What was involved in that, in extending that, I hesitate to say this, but extending that franchise?
Yes. So that one is sort of, like, there is a massive connection in the sense that we distribute Sumerian's, like, single-issue comics. It's published, okay. It's published by Sumerian, we distribute it. But actually, my involvement with it predates that partnership. So I've been friends with the Sumerian guys from when they were doing Behemoth comics. That's where Kevin, my co-publisher, came from. And you know, they would always talk about the licensing books that they were working on, and they would ask, you know, hey, do you have a pitch for this? And so this was probably the third pitch that I had done for them. And it was the one that I kind of felt like, if I don't get this, I'll actually be a little upset. Because I really thought I had a good idea for a way to make a licensing comic that added to the source material. Because that's a really, I think, a hard thing with licensing books is like, you have kind of two different types of licensing books. Usually you have the adaptation, which to me, it's like, well, I'll just watch the movie. Like, I don't need to read a comic book that shows me the things that are happening in the movie one for one. And then you have the ones that are expanding on the universe. And usually there's like a kind of a low stakes aspect to that where you can't ever kill a character or you can't ever do anything that like drives that franchise to off path. So with this, I wanted to do something that if you watch the movie, you could read the book and then go back and watch the movie and have a different experience.
That's awesome.
But
and that's gotta be hard. That movie is like, it's sort of one movement. I don't want to say anything, but like, it's just like one.
Don't spoil
thing
it.
That, don't spoil a movie from the 90s.
I'm not saying that for the first time.
But I will say, like, from an adaptation point of view or a extension point of view, it's sort of one movement, and then you're left with a sort of exclamation point at the end. So that's got to be a harder like way to. How do you get in on that?
So. Okay, so I won't assume that you guys have read through the whole series, but what I tried to do was take scenes from the movie, work them into a completely like a story that stands on its own. So this spoilers for anybody who hasn't read the comic book. So the comic book follows someone who is stalking Patrick Bateman. You're seeing a lot of the scenes from the movie and things that you didn't see in the movie from the stalker perspective. And that's kind of becomes the vehicle for calling back to me. So like, if you watch the movie after reading the comic book, you'll be like, oh, that's what's happening at this point that you're not seeing on screen. And one of the biggest things for me was I wanted to treat it like, you know, there's kind of two views on the ending of the film and the book and everything. Yeah. And one is some people believe it's all in his head. And then others believe, you know, it's just like all the things that can't be explained are just commentary on how messed up people in this version of the world are. So for me, I wanted to make a book that made it where everything makes sense. Like it really happened, and all the things that seem really like inexplicable, there's a good explanation.
American Psycho is one of the rare movie adaptations where I think neither it nor the book are better, but they're actually complementarily. I'm not saying that word well tonight at all, but the book, it's been a while since I read it, but like the book is very much this uber parody satire of 80s drug Wall Street culture from a very male perspective. And the Mary Harron's movie is very much looking at that from a satirical female perspective. Yeah. And again, they both work. They both exist. Yeah. What do you think it is about this story that makes it so malleable?
I mean, I know why in my own way, I prefer the movie. I think Mary Harron's script is amazing. And I think it's just really like amazingly done film. For me, it was, and that's really what I stayed focused on, was the movie version of American Psycho. I think what works is that you can kind of apply a lot of the same things in that to a lot of different cultures. Right. Like, you know, even though it's like really out of this world, like, you know, guy killing people, like just the selfishness, the materialism, all of those things are kind of universal themes. And that's actually for the comic book. Not that I would say I would do it differently, but the thing that I'm hoping we'll get to in a second volume is, there was a lot of that in the original pitch that I had, dealing with kind of that 2010, like Instagram, Facebook culture, that just in 5 issues, you just couldn't get to. You know, I had to really kind of cut out a lot of the things that I wanted to do there. And that was like the one thing where I was like, it would have been great if we had done it as a 12 issue arc just from the beginning. But hopefully we'll still get there.
It's especially crazy that like back when the book came out, it was like, wow, what a novel understanding of American culture. And then American culture just became that. We all became Americans. Like, we adopted this sort of satirical breakdown of how fucked up we are.
Yeah.
Now I feel like you have a million ways to go now.
That's the hard part is like, and comics are hard to, like, one of the hardest things in writing comic books, if for me, I'm not going to speak for every writer out there, is like, it's the page count. Like 22 to 32 pages is not a lot of time to get all the ideas that you have onto a page or into a book. With this one, I really had to kind of like, because I just didn't know if they were going to want to do more than this first storyline. I really kind of just, you know, boiled it down to the essential things and really kept focused on kind of two main aspects of the story that I had thought up. And you know, if we do a second volume, I'm really excited about getting to explore the stuff that didn't get done in this one.
Other than this, just to get back to Massive before we start to wrap up here, obviously people should check out Quested, they should check out Alpha Betas.
Yeah.
What else is coming out that people should look forward to?
We have a lot coming. And actually, it's funny. One of the folks you named in your Patreon list, Kevin Kleinrock, publishing company, or his company, Mass Republic, we just partnered with them.
Nice.
On the Luchaverse books. Those are coming out now.
And a weird coincidence, he's going to be on the show next week. That's so strange.
Crazy.
So
he paid to play. No, I'm just kidding. So we have the Luchaverse stuff coming out. We've also got Ram God, which just went to FOC today. That's a really great story. Has kind of like a rollerball, kind of like a modern rollerball kind of vibe to it. We've got so much stuff that we have coming out. We have a lot of continuations of our early series that we're starting to announce now. Like, for instance, Liquid Kill is coming back for a second volume. We're going to be doing more Astrobots, which we're really excited about.
We have one called out here in the comments, not to interrupt you, but Robert Owen says, I lie Popeye seems interesting. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I should have led with that. No, so, you know, there's one of the things that's kind of crazy is being a new company and working on brands that are like these kind of iconic brands that I remember from being a kid. You know, Popeye is like, this is the 95th anniversary of Popeye. And we partnered with King Features, which is the IP owner, to put out their I Lie Popeye series, which is this kind of like One Piece Dragon Ball take on Popeye, which is kind of those.
That's awesome.
Right. It's something you don't really think about as a thing, but once you hear it, you're like, oh yeah, I want to know what that's like. So we did it.
It's so
as
funny because like so much of like Dragon Ball and all that is like, well, these guys are gonna fight and it's gonna take a while and it's very dramatic. And it was like, that's what Popeye was. It was like, he was like, I gotta fight again. And it's just crazy to not make that connection and to have that connection is so strong.
Yeah. The spinach is the Super Saiyan of the story.
Yes, exactly.
So I Lie Popeye is coming out. We have the trade paperback for Zorro, Man of the Dead coming out in about a month. That was the Sean Murphy book that we did a Kickstarter for last year that just really blew up and was really just kind of overwhelming the response for it.
And I don't know if this was for you. Michael T says, looking forward to Kids and Monsters.
Yeah, Kids and Monsters. That's another one on the list of upcoming series that we're really excited about. So Adam Lawson, who wrote The Exiled with Wesley Snipes, that's his new series. And he comes from like, you know, he does like a lot of film and TV background. And this is his first like solo creator-owned series with us. So we're really excited about that. It has this very like Stephen King, Stranger Things vibe to it. Almost like Stephen King meets Pokemon is the best way we've kind of started talking about it internally.
I definitely felt like I needed to catch all of Stephen King's books. That was terrible. What a terrible note to end this interview on, Michael.
Almanac strikes again.
Michael, congratulations on everything. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm looking forward to all of the awesome books.
Quested, thanks for having me. And for anyone listening, go pick up Quested. It just came out in bookstores everywhere.
Yeah, it's a blast.
Awesome. Thanks, Michael. Great Have a great night.
Thank you, guys.
Definitely do that. Thanks, man.
All right, there we go. Okay. Once again, that was Michael Calero. The book he was specifically talking about was Quested, but you can check out all of his books. And Massive, except for American Psycho, or actually also American Psycho, which is from Sumerian, but out through them as well. So check all that out.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
Another thing that's very cool is our awesome audience, and I love it when they give us audience questions. So guess what? That's the section we're going to go to right now. Here we go.
Who's Rusty? I think all of us are Rusty.
I think
Holy crap. Didn't Stray Bullet come up with a drink?
He did, well, sort of came up with a drink. So we'll get into that in a second. First of all, for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments over on Facebook, YouTube, X, Twitter, or Twitch. And I guess Instagram, we'll check that as well.
The gram.
But in terms of drinks, yes, he curated a drink from the Gotham Cocktail Cookbook. I still can't get that name right, from our friend Andre Darlington. I did not have the ingredients on hand to make usual.
Go back to the Gotham.
Sorry. So I made a Mezcal Negroni tonight. Very good.
Oh, that's sort of in the range.
Kind of.
I made a a bourbon Aperol Suze, so sort of a Boulevardier. Strange take on a Boulevardier, perhaps, but I just got home from a long time away, and that's what was left.
Pete, what are you drinking?
Vodka.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Hey, wait, Pete, I should do this on the show. Do you like spicy vodka, or you're not into spicy stuff, right?
Yeah, I don't think mixing spice and vodka does not sound.
Okay. I got sent this Hot Ones spicy ones vodka.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that. I was like, oof. Yeah, dude,
sure. That sounds like Hot Ones. They finally sold out, huh?
Now, wait, I do have a question for you, though, before we move on to the audience questions. Justin, you were in Spain for a couple of weeks.
Spanish yeah. Justin.
And then you just decided to spend a day in New Orleans, and you stopped down at Stray Bullets Restaurant, Wild South.
Oh, yes. Man.
What's going on? Talk
How
it
is
on.
It? It seems like the greatest restaurant ever made.
So, Wild South is a restaurant. It is... Stray has been, Brett Macris, working in New Orleans for a bunch of years, was the at Couchon, was the head chef at Couchon for a long time, opened his own place with some other partners, and it's an amazing room. Like, he's got stories on stories about how the room was built out. It's really cool. I wasn't there to get his full, he wasn't working that night. I was only in New Orleans for a day for work. And
we still got to go to the restaurant.
So yeah, I got to go to the restaurant, and he actually got to sit down with me with his son, which was super dope. So that part was very cool, but I didn't get the full experience. So now I have to go back. Slash, we have to go back.
Yeah, let's do it.
We have to go back.
I would love to.
Hashtag lost.
Wild South is Penny's boat, and we have to go there. And I just want to say, I was in Spain, Valencia, and Barcelona for like 10 days in Altea. And wow. I did go to a comic book shop in Valencia that was amazing. Like, I know Nat on the Patreon is talking up. He spent a lot of time in France, went to a bunch of comic book shops. So cool. And I will say, this shop, it was a two-story. It felt like a library. There were people just browsing.
So the first story was the Valencia oranges, and then the second story was the comic books?
Yes, exactly. Everyone has oranges all the time there. It's like everyone's juggling. It's beautiful. But no, great, and a lot of great Spanish comics, Spanish creators, but just absorbing a lot of other European comics as well.
Was it like a fancier comic book shop than what we get here?
I mean, yes. I don't think it was purposefully fancy, but like it had library energy in that they just had so many comics on hand.
Wow.
And across all, like... There actually weren't. I couldn't find a lot of English language comics, which
you don't say in a different country.
But I'm saying they had two floors of comics, and it was all mostly Spanish language. So like, that's the comic vibe is strong over there.
Nice, that's awesome,
excellent. Well, listen, why don't we go to some audience questions? Nat Townsend said, "What are some good movies for young kids age 4 to 6?" We've already seen most Disney and Pixar movies. We should mention, Nat has actually kidnapped a bunch of children. And
he's entertained them,
which is pretty cool.
Well, I'm glad he went from boiling gloves to kids. I could see the training that he was doing there.
Sure.
That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I would say...
you catch
Studio...
with a glove and you catch kids.
Studio Ghibli is the next place you should go after Disney and Pixar.
Isn't 4 to 6? Isn't 4 to 6 like a little on the young side?
Come on, Ponyo is fine.
Yeah,
I mean, sure,
Ponyo's
it's a little
fine.
It's a little scary. They probably won't ever go near water after that. But yeah, maybe.
I mean, I'm not saying like don't watch. I mean, my kids are like, can we please watch Ahsoka, Dad? And I'm like, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. It's not great parenting, man.
We're watching. Like, sure. I will say, having watched all of Rebels with my daughters and now watching Ahsoka.
Oh, yeah.
It's
my neighbor Totoro works.
It's actually.
Okay. That's good.
I will say, you know, the 80s movies that like aren't around, they're weird and a little darker, but like. Movies like The Last Unicorn, do you remember that?
No way, dude. I still have nightmares about The Last Unicorn. You out of your mind?
But that stuff, there's something to it. Otherwise, why are we still talking?
I don't know. I mean, we were broken in the 80s.
Yeah, the
there was a lot of cocaine in the air. It was just floating around everywhere.
Just in the air, yeah. We were flying.
First thing that came to mind weirdly was Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, which was one of the better movies.
Alex Disney, though, isn't it?
No, it's what not. It's DreamWorks.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I think I was reading a story about how they're doing a donkey movie, and I was like, what are you talking about? And then I thought, Puss in Boots was
Alex, great. I think it's pronounced donkey.
You're right. I'm so sorry about that.
You got to just speak the language. I can't believe you're recommending Puss in Boots, something that everyone has always on their television anyway.
Well, I don't know. That is...
It's like being like, what do you think? What should I do today? I was like, have you tried outside? It's like going out your door.
Robert Owen says, I mainly wanted to know, is Pete banned from saying bananas? Been a while.
Well, you know, the art's got to really speak to me for me to kind of just say it. I just don't throw it around willy-nilly.
Wait, I'm gone for 2 weeks and you were on a bananas drought and now I'm going to have to hear it like 50 times this week?
Not like, 50. Well, you know, we'll see what happens. But I don't, I don't just say it unless I mean it.
A blessed piece from... Super tight bananas. Wow.
All right. It is time for this week's Schoikler Stumper. Audience question, favorite anime style comic from a Western publisher.
What?
Wow. Once again, as usual, Schoikler is probably thinking about something specific. Anything
anime style comic. I'm curious what that actually means. Like, are you saying in the volumes?
Anime style comic. From a Western publisher. I mean, like, oh my God. What was the Daniel Warren Johnson fight comic that he just did before Transformers?
Do a powerbomb?
Do a powerbomb. How about that?
Yeah.
There you go.
I would argue, how is that more anime than anything? The one that comes to mind for me is sort of a weird one, but you guys remember The Red Star?
Astro Boy is what came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
That is.
Oh, our guest Michael Calera says Liquid Kill. Throw us out there.
Oh, yes. That's, I remember
Eon
that.
Flux.
I mean, Nat Taos in the comments, Brian Lee O'Malley's great answer.
Sure.
Literally what he was doing.
We got a suggestion here from Michael T, a live show with Stray Bullies from the restaurant.
Oh, come on. That
first
would be
of all, 100% we'll do that. Second of all, I'm sure it's not possible. Third of all, Brett, let us know.
I mean, having just been there, like, we could make that happen. I bet, like, yeah. Like that would be. I don't know how badly people want to watch us eat. And also, based on a lot of the podcasts we've done, or specifically the Sweet Tooth podcast, we have very different taste buds.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, we could have, if they can accommodate us at Wild South, we'll get a New Orleans-based comic book writer or artist, and we'll...
This is what I was thinking.
Now that sounds... Wow.
That's what I'm saying. Why did you immediately jump to, we're going to review the food?
Straight Bullet just said in the comments, we're closed on Tuesdays, boys.
Ooh, oh, come on, man! Woo.
There we go. For real. Yeah, 100%.
Let's book the trip.
Let's do it. That'd be great. That'd be wild. The first live show we do together in years is New Orleans at a restaurant, but I'm up for it. Let's do it.
Oh my God, yeah.
Stanley says, do you guys like The Boys or The Acolyte? Great question, Stanley. We actually do a podcast called Let's Hear It for The Boys that is released every week. When The Boys is released, we have the first four episodes up for season four
now. Yes, yes, to answer
your
question.
Very much enjoying it. Got a podcast for that. Check it out. Very fun. The Acolyte, you are enjoying The Acolyte. Pete, Justin, Echo Yes or Echo a Little
fight?
Light?
Echo Fight. Yeah. Because I was traveling, I've only seen the first two. Mm. But I will say, I did like them.
Nice.
Maybe you guys have already talked about this a bunch, but like they had some sort of Star Trek energy to them, which I think was a nice injection to the sort of recent Star Wars properties to go that way a little bit. I'm curious how the next two episodes go.
Just to get your kind of like, temperature on this, like scale of 1 to 10, how pissed were you when they killed off Trinity right away?
Trinity? Oh, yes. Oh, I see. I really thought you were talking about the Matrix movies, and this is a weird fight you guys were having. I was fine with it. I thought it was a cool fight, and
that's but wrong answer. Wrong answer, man.
It was Scream, basically. Take
you think I can't tell when you want me to say a certain thing, Pete? Yikes.
Yeah.
You're a you're leading the witness.
I was hoping you were rustier than you know.
I think the Acolyte's all right. I'm enjoying it fine. I'm curious to see tonight's episode because Leslie Headland, who created the show, said tonight's episode is her favorite as the one that I haven't seen yet. So
I'm just saying, why are we killing off all the really cool characters before we get to see them do cool shit?
She came back. It's about the sins of the Jedi and whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fucking Wookiee. We didn't even get to see, like, we barely got to see that Wookiee.
See more flashback. We're getting a comic. There's going to be a one shot called Star Wars Kelnaka. Can you feel the hype?
They should.
What is he going to do? He's going to be grumpy and stuff. It'll be really cool. This is a question for you. Here, let's get this back on track. Schleichler says, so what are your favorite funk bands?
Oh, my God. That's such a great question. AWB comes to mind. I mean, of course, George Clinton. I've seen the Mothership land 3 times live. I used to do a funk show in college. I could go on for days about the funk.
Wow.
Don't get me started.
I didn't know you had the funk. Would you say that it might be a good idea to fake the funk on a nasty dunk?
Oh, boo.
Are we talking about the same thing?
Nope. I think so. Well, there you go. That is it for your audience questions.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
We are going to go to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Oh, what a great idea. All right, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free to Midtown Comics Online, because if you had $25, of course, you would want to get some comics. All we need is a brave volunteer. And
we got Michael T. I do want to bring up Eric MCI on Twitch says, Acolyte looks and feels like a CW show, and yet it has a budget of $180 million.
Oh, shots fired. Shots fired.
That's a fair criticism.
Yes, it is. But there you go, Michael T.
Michael T. All right. Here we go, Michael. Excuse me. Today's trivia is on comic book writers and artists, and a small nod to the legend, Richard M. Sherman, R.I.P. Please list all 3 options before making
your list. How long is your death list, Pete? I just want to know.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm just saying there's some other people that may have died recently that I'm surprised.
Yes, very important, but you still got
to
go in order. You can't skip people just because more famous people die. You got
to
respect
what's
happening.
Fame Trump.
What?
Yeah, I agree. Fame Trump. Trump's famous. Trump's famous. Famous Trump.
I don't like what's happening right now.
Trump. 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 That's what Justin's saying. Trump. Trump.
I don't like
this at all. 4 more years.
Stop!
Alex, honestly, no.
Alex, I don't know what you're doing right now, but it's got real weird. Justin, do you see what happens when you leave? Do you see what happens when you leave? All right, here we go. Question number one.
Hard right turn of comic book.
Hard right. All right, here we go. Question number one. This amazing writer has a bunch of awards and is known for The Boys, Preacher, Hellblazer, just to name a few. Who is it? Is it A, Garth Ennis? B, maybe Justin's mom. C, Jenny Tyler.
By the way, I just want to mention, I read articles all the time about The Boys, and everybody's like, Garth Ennis is The Boys. It does not cost you more to write Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson's The Boys. I'm just saying. Yeah. Just putting that out
there. It's not old-timey where you get paid by the letter type of thing.
I was going to say, don't they have to use more ink for all those?
Yeah, exactly.
Print it. That's true. So that's going to cost
Michael, you are correct, A, and thank you for laughing out loud. Question number two. This writer and artist has also won a bunch of awards, but also worked on Batman Hush, X-Men, and so much more. Who is it? Is it A, possibly Alex's mom? B, Jim Lee? C, Bill Lee?
Interesting A twist there. Huge A twist.
What if I told you Jim Lee was my mom?
Yeah.
Your mom's the king of San Diego.
Wow, that'd be pretty amazing.
That'd be cool.
B is correct, Michael. Nice work.
Here we go. Partying in your mom's hotel room.
Oh, I took a turn. Last one, question number three. This self-taught artist has done a bunch of great stuff, including Hexed, Spider-Man, and Pretty Deadly. Who is it? Is it A, Emma Rios? B, what is the name of that fast guy but the annoying one? C, Wally West?
Wow.
What?
This new pattern you're doing is very weird, dude.
Yeah.
Wait, in this pattern, Wally lets
no. So what he does is he does the correct answer. He does a joke that sets up the name of the last.
You are correct. It is
There we go. All right, great. What was the secret movie you were referring to, Pete?
Of course, I'm talking about the 1964 banger Mary Poppins.
Great, Michael T. Congratulations, you have won. Mary Poppins banger
is strange.
Holler back at your boy.
Dude, it's a classic.
Michael T., you have won a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics. Shoot us an email and we will get that out to you.
We were watching Mary Poppins with our kids a couple years ago. And this is definitely in pandemic. There's a lot of theories online about what the deal is. And I'm going to throw this out to you because it did change the way I think about the movie. The idea, because we have... the chimney sweep, Bert, who is like sort of flirting with Mary Poppins, but she's like not having it. And it's strange in a kid's movie to have it be this sort of like, oh, you're a gentleman. We're not going to do this, even though you're trying to like sort of kiss me. And the theory I read was that Bert actually was a kid that was in Mary Poppins' charge years ago. And he just grew up, and that's why he sort of has the magic. He's maintained the Mary Poppins vibe and is, like, obsessed with her. But she's like, I raised you. I'm not going to date you. And that's sort of the backbone of the whole relationship throughout the movie.
Wow. Interesting. Have you checked out the Bert / Mary Poppins part of Archive of Her Own? Because there's some very interesting stories in that direction.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm sure it's something perverted.
Definitely is. New comic books are coming out all the time. I love them.
All the time.
We all love comic books on the show. What are you guys looking forward to that's coming out, Pete?
Oh, my God. There's a ton of great stuff coming out and a ton of stuff I'm looking forward to fighting you guys on. But Superman 15 and Action Comics 1066. Quite a Superman block. Bloodhunt number 4.
Bloodhunt. P is into the Bloodhunt. Who saw that?
And my favorite X-Men book I've read in years is X-Men Bloodhunt Magic number 1.
But you don't know that because we're not allowed to review them until tomorrow.
Right. Yes. But you asked me what I'm looking forward to, and that's it. So
right, you're looking forward to it because it hasn't come out yet. We'll talk about this offline and how time works. I'll throw out there my number one pick is Zatanna, Bring Down the House number 1 from DC Comics, the Black Label. I'm super, super looking forward to that was out today. But it's Mariko Tamaki, Javier Rodriguez on art, drawing a Las Vegas-based Zatanna book. Everything is good about that. Justin, what about you?
I got to go with the 1-2 like political punch of Animal Pound, Tom King's book, which is based on Animal Farm, the George Orwell novel, satire. And this book, I feel like, is doing an interesting dance of adapting it, but also modernizing the satire. And I'm very curious what the progression is going to be and where we're going to land with it. I feel like it's getting toward a final movement. And at the same time, the Department of Truth is back. We haven't had that in a long time. Also feels like it is something that is building, coming to a head at a time when politics and our country is coming to a head in a crazy way. Great time to be out there reading these two comics.
Wait. I want to say one more because I didn't say it because I thought you guys would definitely say it. And I'm a little upset that you didn't. Rare Flavors, number 6.
Oh, yeah. Last issue of that.
Bringing that to a close. Oh,
unbelievable. I hope it nails the landing. See what I did there, Alex?
Thanks.
See what I did?
You suck. All right. That's it for this week's show. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for your support. Thank you to Michael Calero for coming on to talk about Quested, as well as American Psycho and all about Massive Comics. Go check them out. Next week, as we mentioned earlier in the show, Kevin Kleinrock and Diego Valenzuela are going to be here to talk about the Luchaverse. Yes. Also, Kyle Stuck is going to be here to talk about Hallowed, so that should be fun. Check out Comic Book Club News, our daily news podcast, as per the name, every day of the week, Monday through Friday in the morning. You get your Kyle Cook news. Also, Let's Hear It for the Boys. We mentioned that earlier. Our Boys podcast is back, recapping the current season. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support this show and all the shows we do. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Android, Spotify, or the app of your choice. At Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram and TikTok, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Yeah, great to be back. They sit on crappy couches and they let the secrets leak. And occasionally they let that special guest speak. So grab your grim handle.
Thanks all. Have a great night.
Stanley.
Good night.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.